Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
You count down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
You bet your booties, here's Guy James. Happy Thursday to you. Hope you're having a good day today. I am. I'm upbeat today. I don't know why. Still feeling a little bit of the effects of whatever it was yesterday. But anyway, I'm sure it's not the swine flu, so, hey, I'm ready to roll. And feeling good today. Got the, got a phone call just a little bit ago. We were going to have a gentleman on, Bob Wiseman, to talk about what's going on in Washington. And his office just called, Barbara Holzer just called a few minutes ago. And had to cancel out today, so we won't be able to have that on today. I'm reading here. I probably sound real stupid. Oh, you say I always sound stupid. Okay. All right. Hey, I did get a lot of email, a lot of backfire from yesterday's program. I don't know why. I don't think yesterday's program was anything monumental. It was great, of course, being on the Head On Radio Network. You know, it was a fantastic, unbelievable show. But they always are. So I don't know why that one stuck out, and I don't know why I got so many. I'm kidding, you know. I'm very modest, actually. They tell me I'm too modest. Do I come across as too modest? I don't know. Anyway, here we go. I did get a lot of mail yesterday. Even got one of those, and I tell you, I was surprised and pleased. It's been a long time since I've got one of these notes that says, someone ought to spider your guts with a shotgun over the wall. I haven't gotten one of those for a long time, but, this particular person that sent this one is a bit uninformed because they said, I listened to your show today, you filthy commie bastard, and it will not last a month. Well, I hate to tell you, they're author of The Filthy Commie Bastard. I just love those terms. If you don't know what else to call somebody, a socialist commie Nazi bastard. It comes from the right. Are they really that uneducated? Yes, they are. Are they really that stupid? Yes, they are. It's funny. My wife gets alarmed when I get an email like that, and I tell my friends about it, and I tell you about it, and everybody's like, oh, my God, you got a letter. Somebody said you're going to shoot you. Oh, well. You're not getting any cherry here, bud. This is not the first time we've got a letter like that. So, and I do want you to know, if you are listening today, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
I do want you to know that your letter is nowhere near the top of being the most vile, disgusting letter I've ever gotten. You missed out on quite a few epithets that other people have put in their letters, and I don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you can't spell. You didn't spell too well anyway. Shotgun was with two O's. I love, and someone out to spider you guys with a shotgun over the fucking wall. All right, yeah. I just want them to know that I do think it's funny. You know, it's one of those, I know where you are, I know, you know, I'll be waiting for you and all that sort of thing. But then he says, someone ought to spider your guts. Didn't say he would. So I don't know if that gets him in trouble with the FBI or not, if he says someone ought to. That's not actually a threat, is it? The I'll be waiting for you part is, kind of. Waiting for what? I'm not going to bring you a sandwich or anything, Ralph. I'm not going to put anything into your tin cup sitting along the road that will work for food. No, not you, Ralph. Oh, I'm babbling on. Did I tell you about, oh God, Sophie reminded me on the chat room about that terrible incident that took place in Florida. Terrible. Over that seven-year-old girl. Man, that makes me tear up just thinking about it. It does. The horror that is in this world, the evil that is in this world. I don't think it's anything new. However, it's vile and disgusting, and when we hear news about that, about children, it just breaks my heart. It does. And I know it bothers all of you as well. Moving on, I did hear, speaking of vile, filthy, nasty, all that kind of stuff, I did hear a caller to Hannity's show the other day, and I meant to talk about it earlier this week, and I didn't get to it. I did hear a caller to Hannity's show say that a woman said, I'm not going to get my kid to get the swine flu vaccine. And Hannity says, well, why not? And the woman says, because you never know. Has this been reported? Did you already hear this? The woman says, you never know. You know, there might be some funny business going on there. And Hannity says, well, what do you mean? And the lady says, well, it might be Obama's way and the liberals' way of controlling the population, if you get my drift. Yes, she said that on the Hannity show. That alluding to the idea that we liberals were out to kill the conservatives with the swine flu vaccine, that it's all a hoax. Yeah, it's all a hoax dreamed up by some crazy liberal scientist in the back room someplace at some liberal university, you see. And they perpetrated this hoax of the swine flu. It doesn't really actually exist. And so they're going to try and talk all of the conservatives into going out and get the swine flu shots. And they're telling everybody secretly, you see, behind the scenes, don't, if you're liberal, don't go get that shot because... And so they're going to talk all the conservatives into going and getting them. And that's Obama's way of controlling the population. And if he gets rid of all the conservatives, then the liberals will have their way from now on. And honest to God, Hannity sits there and doesn't say, you know, woman, you're crazier than hell. Woman, please don't debase my show by saying something like that on there. You belong in a loony bin. Instead of saying that, Hannity says, well, you know, I haven't made a decision on whether or not my child... is getting the flu vaccine yet. I haven't made a decision, so you never know. You never know. Nice, huh? Nice. But then the hatred from the right knows no bounds. We know that. I'm gonna show you a little bit of that today, and I'm not showing you anything that you don't already know. The hatred from the right is it seems limitless. Here we are over here, we goody two shoes liberals. Willing to live and let live, and we have crazies on the right, and I do mean crazies. Speaking of crazy, did you see old man Bush the other day, ex-president Bush? he got up and talked about how this political rhetoric had to stop and all that and this name calling and everything. And then he says Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann are a couple of sick puppies. I mean, he said it within 20 seconds of saying, well, I got to stop the calling, the name calling. I think he's a little senile anyway. That family, you know. I didn't hate George Herbert Walker Bush. I thought he was pretty much vanilla. I didn't like his policies or anything, but as a guy, I just thought he's pretty much one of those people that you look into their eyes, you know, and there's nothing in there. There's no soul. Do you know anybody like that? I think the entire Bush family kind of looks like that to me. Barbara does. Not Jeb so much, but Junior Bush and Daddy Bush, you look them in the eyes, and there's just nothing in there. There's just pools of blackness in there. You don't know what you're up against. That always bothers me. Always does. Anyway, here we are broadcasting the show today from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida. We'd like to say hello to Dave over at ampstatus.com. I want you all to go visit that website. Got a nice note from Dave today about us talking about his article. What was it, yesterday we did his article on the show? And Dave is a good, damn good writer, and he is a good, good liberal progressive writer. That's all I got to say. And leave it all out. Leave the politics out of it. He's a terrific writer. Just terrific. I wish I had some of his moxie when it comes to that. But Dave, thanks for the nice note. And we do want to encourage everybody to go and visit that website, ampedstatus.com. They've got articles on politics, on humor, health, everything there. And I think you'll find terrific editorializing by Dave on there, and you'll enjoy that site very, very much. Didn't really prepare a whole lot today. Did want to talk a little bit about fascism. We will talk a little bit about fascism later on today. I have gotten quite a charge out of this little fight, this little dust-up between Fox News and the White House. I don't know. I think it's kind of neutral. It's kind of a toss-up whether one side is getting anything over on the other. It is about time that somebody tells it like it is about Fox News. I mean, hell, we all know it anyway, don't we? Of course. We all know. I mean, it's not news. We didn't have to have the White House come out and announce that Fox News is a political arm of the right, of the far right. We didn't have anybody have to tell us that. Hello, cobwebs. If you're on the chat room, you know why I said that. And if you're not, and you better get over to the chat room, it's on Head On Radio Network, okay? HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Go over there. Simply sign into the chat room. They don't ask you for any money or a credit card or your life's work or all your personal information, whether or not you've got any boyfriends or girlfriends. None of that. Just go sign up. There's a lot of really cool people in there. Bob Kincaid and I go in there now and then as well. I'm in there during the show and usually busy, a little too busy to answer questions during the show. I try during a break or something once in a while if I can, but anyway. And I do want to remind everybody once again, don't be on me for mentioning this again, that Bob Kincaid and I will be descending upon Washington, D.C. as representatives of the Head On Radio Network next week, and we are going to broadcast live the Making It in America, Building the New Economy Conference. That's put on by the Institute of America's Future. Same folks that do Campaign for America Futures every year that have been to for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. Robert Borisage is in on that. And we're going to have Richard Trumka, the new president of AFL-CIO, John Surma from U.S. Steel. Who else? Jim Webb, Democrat from Virginia, Sherrod Brown, James Clyburn, and a host of others. And, of course, Oh, now they're letting me have it on the chat room about Bob and I going and eating meat at Fogo de Cho. In case you don't know what Fogo de Cho is, and Cho, however you pronounce it, it's a restaurant. There's five or six of them in the country, and there's one right on Pennsylvania Avenue, and you walk in there and you sit down, and if you're a vegan or any of that thing, don't listen to what I'm about to say, but they give you this little coaster. It's red on one side and green on the other. And in the background, you can see these ovens, these fiery ovens in the background. And they have one chef for each oven, okay? One oven has got nothing but filet mignon in it. One of them has nothing but beef tenderloin in it. One of them has nothing but, like eye of round. Another one's got sausages in it. Another one's got this, that. Parmesan pork. And they bring it out on skewers. These guys are all dressed up as gauchos. That isn't a disease. That's a cowboy from Argentina. Anyway, and they bring this out on skewers, and if you've got your green coaster turned up, they come to your table, and they slide off a filet mignon, and then here comes another guy with the beef tenderloin, and they slide off some of that. And in other words, you keep eating all the fine meat that you want. And I'm not talking here like a regular buffet that has cheap meat. These guys got nothing but the very finest. And you sit there and eat until you can't eat anymore. Now, I know Bob's probably not listening right now. And he wouldn't appreciate me telling you this, I suppose. I think I mentioned it once before. But Bob and I went there. And we were eating along real well. We didn't fall for that salad bar deal. I took a little bite off the salad bar. That's about it. I went straight for the meat. And I started in, and we were both flailing away, just, forks flying, and it was tremendous. And, two guys just utterly in beef and hog heaven there. I mean, you just can't believe it if you like meat. And we were keeping up with one another. It was going along. The battle was pretty even. But then Bob says, "Oh, I got to go out and have a cigarette." He said he had to go out and have a cigarette. Well, I kept my coaster up, see. My coaster was up, and all the while he was outside, I was still packing it away. And then he came back in, and we went a little further, and then we both had to quit. And it's not a place where you eat dessert either. It's like, oh, my God, you walk out of there, and, anyway, I shouldn't talk about that so much, but Bob and I had so much fun, and I enjoy his company so very much. He's just a riot. He's a fountain of knowledge, and we get along well, and I just guess we're just natural compadres. Love the guy. Absolutely love him, but don't tell him I said that, okay? All right. Enough of that. We'll be there. We're leaving Wednesday. And we'll cover that thing on Thursday and then back home on Friday morning. Oh, Lord, I have to gotta be at National at 6 a.m. on Friday morning. I don't mind getting up early, but I gotta be there at 6, so it means I gotta get up like at 4:30 or something like that to get, And as you all know, at National, they don't mess around with that, security line. They really hit you hard there, I think. To me, it's the most secure airport I've been to. And I guess I can understand why, with all the hotshot politicians going in there, and, big-time broadcasters like Bob Kincaid and Guy James, they want to be a little extra careful. And especially if you go through there and you've got like an audio mixer in one of your carry-on bags, those audio mixers, they don't look real good underneath the scanners. They look like, there's wires and all that stuff, and they think, uh-oh, and they pull you aside, and then you got to search everything you got and all that. Boy, this is an interesting conversation I'm having with myself, isn't it? If you want to call, someone's asking me a question here, and I got to see what this says. Isn't that the airport where George W. said the ticket counters fly out of guy? They have another name for it. They have a name before. Oh, Sophie found the website for Fogo de Chao. Oh, Sophie, please don't do that to me. I can't look at that right now. My stomach will start growling. Really, it will. Where was I going with this? I don't know. Anyway, the whole thing I wanted to start talking about today on the show was this little dust-up. I guess that's where I started with that. This little dust-up between the White House and Fox News. And like I said, we don't need anybody to tell us that Fox News is without question an arm of the Republican National Committee. And I mean, there's no doubt. Why would they even want to deny it? I'm not sure they have denied it. Have they really officially denied it? They try and come across as a mainstream media, as an actual news channel. And let's face it. I mean, let's be honest here. Let's get down to the nitty gritty here. MSNBC, all right, with Rachel and Keith on there, and what's his name, Deegan in the morning. I know that they've got Joe and all that, but and what's his name? The guy from North Dakota, what's his name? I can never remember his name because I don't want to remember his name. Schultz, Sergeant Schultz. Just because they've got all those people on there does, in my opinion, makes it fair. It makes it very fair to say that the MSNBC is a liberal radio network or TV network. There's no question about it. It is. So why don't the people over at Fox, why don't they say, yeah, hell yeah, we're Republicans, we're conservatives, we're neocons. Why don't they just up and say, damn right. Why would you try and deny it? Because you'd have to be extremely, extremely stupid to say that they're not be able to see it. But it's funny now the way they're throwing rocks at everybody, saying that President Obama is favoring the left and woe is we, poor we over at Fox News. Obama is against us and all. Well, sure he's against you. What do you think? You call the guy a Nazi and you help promote fundraisers for CPAC and everybody else. What do you think he's going to say? He's going to come to you with open arms? Don't forget, he has done interviews on there. On Fox. And don't forget, he had that, we've got Michelle Malkin, and I think I'll play that if I've got that around here someplace. We got Michelle Malkin saying now, is, you know, it's not right for him to have this meeting, off the record meeting with some liberals. Let's see if we got that here. I mean, this is absurd. Listen to this. Oh, well, maybe
White House to answer. So let's go over those three questions. And here is one. Hasn't your White House set a dangerous First Amendment, Mr. President, undermining precedent in publicly declaring which news organizations are legitimate and which are not? Why ask that question?
Well, because I think it goes to the heart of this entire controversy. This isn't just about one news network. This is about the entire mainstream media. And when you have official White House spokespeople defining what journalism is and what journalism isn't,
right.
It's not just one news network that should be worrying about this.
To everybody.
And while President Obama may not be losing sleep, if I were another media outlet that had journalists who asked
gotcha.
Inconvenient questions of this White House, yeah, I'd be losing a little sleep over it.
Let's go to your second question. What did you talk about in your off-the-record meeting with opinion journalists at the White House-friendly media outlet for over 2 hours, and why should it be kept secret? Who was there? What do you need to know, Michelle?
Well, we know that a lot of left-wing opinion journalists were invited to this off-the-record meeting that lasted 2.5 hours. That's a lot longer than General McChrystal got, and I think that the news-consuming audience ought to know what was discussed. We ought to know, and it ought to be disclosed what was discussed by those attendees when they talk about this White House and its policies. Why shouldn't this be completely transparent?
Last question. If a Republican administration operated the way you've operated over the last 9 months, what grade for transparency would you give it? Michelle, what do you think he'd give?
Well, I think he ought to give a big fat F. If a Republican administration acted like him, the way they have, ramming through bills without showing them in sunlight, meeting behind closed doors with private health care executives and being forced to tell who they are.
I'm sensing he should
the entire way it's operated without sunlight.
Gotcha. Go out and get Culture of Corruption. It's the best-selling book Michelle wrote. And by the way, you should take that pass-fail, Mr. President, according to Michelle.
Yeah, Culture of Corruption, a book that you just must absolutely have by Michelle Morgan. Now, you heard what this woman had to say. She's another one that, and I hate to say this. Either she's a person who's a money grubbing whore who will say anything for money. I don't mean actual physical prostitute, but somebody who will sell their soul for a dollar. Either she's one of those, or she doesn't have the sense she was born with. It's one of the two. You heard what she had to say. Oh, we need transparency. Oh, the president met with people on an off-the-record meeting. You know, the people over at Crooks and Liars mentioned, Susie Madrek over there, said that the people at Fox appear to be suffering from memory loss about President Bush's many off-the-record chats with conservative columnists and radio hosts, including Fox News personality Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Glenn Beck. And additionally, they seem to forget that Obama shared an off-the-record dinner with conservative columnists, including Fox contributors Charles Krauthammer, Bill Krister, and Paul Guillot before his inauguration. And Malkin should note that dinner with Krauthammer and Crystal lasted for 2.5 hours. Off the record, you stupid. Oh, what short memories. I just can't get on over how these people go on about this. And John Cole, you know, one of the better bloggers out there, John Cole wrote that the Bush government used reporters to out CIA agents and then sat by and watched reporters go to jail to protect their sources. They paid Armstrong Williams, Michael McManus, and Maggie Gallagher and others for favorable opinions about White House policies or attack opponents of the White House. They planted Jeff Gannon to lob softball questions, good old Jeff Gannon, and God knows what else he did in the White House. They got fed reporters misinformation about WMDs in Iraq, and then used the stories as corroborating evidence of the existence of WMDs in Iraq. They treated Helen Thomas like a leper. They waged a coordinated campaign against NBC. They kicked all the New York Times reporters off of their planes. The Pentagon-funded program they had, which sold the war by planting former military officers on the networks. Uncovering this story earned a journalist a Pulitzer Prize. They staged mock press conferences with FEMA employees pretending to be reporters. They allowed Ari Fleischer to tell everyone, but directed at journalists, they needed to watch what they say and what they do. And now we see that Junior Bush is going to be given motivational speeches with some two-bit motivational seminar scam outfit for $100,000 a pop. Great. The last time that Mr. Bush gave out motivational speeches, hundreds of thousands of Republicans voted for Democrats. So keep that up, George. Go for it. There was a poll, I think, in the New York Post. Forgive me. I think it was in the New York Daily News, yes. So how much would you pay to hear a speech by former President George W. Bush? $1,000? Hey, he's a former president. 23%. That's pretty high. $250? I'm curious about what he'd say. 6%. $25, kind of what I would pay to see a stand-up comic. 13%. And a penny. That's about all his advice would be worth. 58%. Now, I don't want to, you know, I've let sleeping dogs lie, I guess, but a motivational speaker, George W. Bush? George W. Bush, a motivational speaker? I mean, come on. That's kind of amazing, I think. Well, anyway. Let's take ourselves a little break here. And I mentioned to you that I wanted to talk a little bit today about the hatred that comes up on the right wing. I just can't, they just can't seem to get enough of it. And we'll be back right after this little montage.
Hey folks, I can tell you right now, if you want to expose yourself to hate around the clock, if you want to expose yourself to vitriol and hatred around the clock, I can tell you where to do it. It's called MSNBC. That cable network is hate 24/7. And they have been for 8 years.
For instance, or for goodness sakes, jump in and I'm going to just start out with something controversial. I saw Cynthia McKinney's new hairdo. Have you seen it, Belinda?
No.
She looks like a ghetto slut.
I love talking to you about these Katrina refugees. I mean, so many of them have turned out to be complete bums. Just debris. Debris that Hurricane Katrina washed across the country. That describes Theron Johnson. Theron Johnson, New York City, Katrina deadbeat, like so many thousands more. I don't care whether you were born into the religion or you chose the religion. It is, at its core, a violent, violent religion. I can, you know, I know you disagree with me. That's fine. You can disagree all you want. And I also believe that this Muhammad guy is just a phony rag picker that created.
You have the right to believe whatever you like.
Well, thank you for that.
But it's just remarkable to continue to witness the actual racism that exists on the left. Using the term magic Negro to apply to you white people who are supporting Obama. Singing a song in my head here during the break. Barack the Magic Negro. Uh-oh, Dawn's shaking her head on that. What are you saying? If I do that, I then will own the term. Because I will be taking it above and beyond how it's been used. Well, that's what we always do here. We do parodies and satires on the idiocy and the phoniness of the left. And for Barack Obama, he's a half minority. Hey, Barack Obama has picked up another endorsement. African-American actress Halle Berry. As a African-American, I'm honored to have Ms. Berry's support, as well as the support of other African-Americans. Obama's, he didn't say it, but anyway, there are those greetings.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this the piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
Well, it,
he what is, do you mean? He's very, he is, he's colorless. He is colorless. When
so
he
clear?
Says, yes.
History was made last Tuesday when Democrat Keith Ellison got elected to Congress representing the great state of Minnesota. Well, not really unusual that Minnesota would elect a Democrat. What is noteworthy is that Keith is the first Muslim in history to be elected to the House of Representatives. He joins us now. Congratulations, sir.
How you doing, Glenn? Glad to be here.
Thank you. I will tell you, may we have 5 minutes here where we're just politically incorrect and I play the cards face up on the table?
Go there.
Okay. No offense, and I know Muslims, I like Muslims, I've been to mosques, I really don't believe that Islam is a religion of evil. I think it's being hijacked, quite frankly. With that being said, you are a Democrat, you are saying, let's cut and run, and I have to tell you, I have been nervous about this interview with you, because what I feel like saying is, sir, prove to me that you are not working with our enemies. And I know you're not. I'm not accusing you of being an enemy, but that's the way I feel, and I think a lot of Americans will feel that way.
I can't take it that Rosie O'Donnell can be put on ABC television, mainstream, unquestioned by the mainstream media. She can say whatever she wants to say. She can take the sides with, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, a guy who was the mastermind behind 9/11. She can make him into some sort of a martyr without anybody at ABC, NBC, CBS, mainstream media. They say nothing about that. Nothing.
If you doubt for a second that the Republicans will tell outrageous lies to you about health care reform, watch this.
But that's exactly what's going on in Canada and Great Britain today. They don't have the appreciation of life as we do in our society, evidently. And Dr. O, a lot of people are going to die. This program of government option that's being touted as being this panacea, the savior of allowing people to have quality health care at an affordable price, is going to kill people.
Got that? The people in Canada and England hate their citizens so much that, like every other wealthy industrial country in the world, they give their citizens affordable health care. But we can't have that in America. We need huge health insurance rate increases, gigantic salaries for the CEOs of the health insurance companies, and people being denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. Because that's how much the Republicans love life. This message produced by Lee Stranahan. I'm an uninsured father taking on the health insurance industry.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment is entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit. I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. So I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment is entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
So darling, despite all the problems in the world,
bloody mass destruction.
A reality show has crossed the line. Jessica Simpson's made
mass destruction.
Yes, I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment can be. And I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
So darling, if you could pass the time, won't you entertain? Here we are, we're starting a war. We claim the rest of the world can't have news.
Not Iran.
Well, the only thing on my TV screen is them retro days of dudes.
What does she eat?
Well, the rest of the world is watching. Well, they probably dropped their jaw. She's old, but she watches ass with a Kyoto protocol.
Global what?
And Mr. Murdoch is smiling. Mr. Ruby ain't afraid.
Scooter's a good man.
They both live that American dream while the rest of the world is paid. And the Enron execs are smiling.
Jail?
They golfing and having fun. Not worried about the lives they ever run. Drinking boat drinks and the sun. And I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
I don't know who started this on the chat room. I don't know who fired the first shot, but I will get you. I will get you. You understand? Someone mentioned about this being a classy radio show. I will get you for this. Cobwebs put up the chocolate chip cookies picture. That's pretty much the last straw. The mugs of beer. It's all too much. And I think if those of you in the chat room had any respect for me at all, you would have stopped this. But no, you didn't. And I sit here right now. I sit here right now, half starved. Not exactly emaciated. But I'm going to take names, and some of you people are going to have to pay. It seems to me that Cobwebs has a little more fun with this than anybody else. Cobwebs, totally heartless. Now the bag of Doritos. I'll get you. Hey, back to business, as David Letterman says. Speaking of David Letterman, do you think he's going to suffer any because of that deal that happened there with him? Doesn't appear so. Now they're blaming me. Just because, see, when I mentioned about Bob and I going to the Fogo de Chão restaurant, I was talking about business there. That was a business conversation. That had nothing to do with the, enjoyment of food and being hungry and all that. That was just to explain that we're going to be there on business, and that's all part of what you do there on business. I didn't mean to taunt anyone. I didn't. If I did, I apologize. But you people are just plain mean. For those of you not listening, not on the chat room, you must think this whole conversation is crazy. And it is a little bit. I'll tell you what's not crazy. Some of the things that are going on this healthcare business right now. I hate to Hate to bring it up day after day, but it is the big topic of conversation politically nowadays. It's bad that politics has to be involved in whether we live or die. But I was wondering, did you see, among some of the other absurd stories, I think maybe this one is as bad as that I have seen so far, an indictment of an insurance company, a heartless, don't give a damn about our the people that pay the premiums. All we care about is our profit and me, the CEO, whoever it happens to be, making tens of millions of dollars. If you think that they feel any way different, you know, I love the you're in good hands with Allstate. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Isn't it nice? Isn't it nice? Oh, my. Nationwide and all the big healthcare companies, they love us. They do love us, and they take our premiums, and they like to give us value in return, and especially on healthcare. If they take our healthcare premiums, they're going to make sure that we get the finest of care. And of course, if there's things written in the little itty-bitty fine print that no one would understand anyway, that we don't understand, and later they want to use it to say, gee, I'm sorry. As we mentioned yesterday, we can't pay a claim. We can't cover your daughter because she's too little, you see. Her height and weight don't match up with our actuarial charts, and you see, we can't cover her. Yes. Now, I hear today, I read a story today off the Huffington Post. Don't often go there. Huffington Post reports on a woman who was raped and cannot get health insurance because of a pre-existing condition. She might have been exposed to AIDS. Where will this all end down the road if these insurance companies get their way? Where will it end? I'll tell you where it'll end. It'll end someday with a DNA test, doing complete DNA family backgrounds, and if your family is clean all the way back and you've had nothing, you've had no cancers, you've had no heart attacks, none of that, then you'll be able to buy insurance at a very high premium rate. If guaranteed to make them a profit, or whatever profit it is they need, and if you have had serve as a historical artifact of the days when there was no universal coverage, Grayson said. Namesofthedead.com. I haven't been over there to see if it's up and running yet. 45,000 Americans every year. Think about that. Because they don't have health care. We have been involved in wars. They don't kill nearly that many people. And hell yes, let's fund the war. We got plenty of money for the war. We're moving up on, I think, $1 trillion now for Afghanistan and Iraq. And when you consider the long-lasting ramifications of both of those episodes, it'll end up being far more because of the medical bills down the line for those that have been wounded. Some of them with horrific wounds. This morning, House Democrats took to the floor to point out that it has now been 126 days, and the Republicans still have not offered their health care reform proposal. And, of course, it was Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, another one I'm proud of from Florida. She mentioned that rather than working with the Democrats, Republicans are choosing to be the party of no and the status quo, and no is not a solution. 126 days since the Republicans came up and said, hey, we've got a plan. And there's been no plan from the Republicans. nor will there be a plan from the Republicans. You know, and I know, they were never serious about putting forth a plan of any kind. They have not. They will not. They are the party of no. Not that I'm all that enthralled with the Democrats right now, because I think they're doing, well, it's what they're not doing. And they tell me Grayson's site already has some names on it. William H. Garner, 64, Hatfield, Pennsylvania, Eldon Taylor, 57, Tucker, Georgia, Edward Wilson, Jr., 28, of St. Louis, Missouri, Frankie Nichols, 41, of Copeville, Texas, Mildred Starkey, 64, of Harrison, Arkansas. People that didn't have insurance, that died. Lack of proper care, lack of proper treatment. 45,000 people a year. You imagine, it's the way I always think of crowds. I'm pretty good at estimating crowds. And I think I am good at that because I've been in so many football stadiums across the country. And you imagine a crowd of 45,000 people, that would be like a small stadium, like Indiana University, for example. I think theirs holds about 58, maybe something like that. Small stadium like that, clear full of people. Dead. Dead because everyone else didn't have the guts to go ahead and pass a health care reform that we desperately need. How can you look at a number like 45,000 people a year and not be concerned about that? You remember when the highway death count, I don't know what it is anymore, but I remember years back it was like 55,000 a year, people killed on the highways. And we had a damn hissy fit in this country. We've got to make cars safer. And they did. They were forced to make airbags and seat belts and all these crushable front ends on these cars. You know, made a lot of, forced the automakers to make these cars safer, and they are safer. Many people survive horrible crashes these days. Some don't. But 45,000 dying because they don't have health care and not getting the proper treatment. And where's the outcry? Where is it? We're starting to hear some now, but where has it been? You telling me the public, the people in this country didn't know that? Well, you know, it's not me. It's not my family. I work at the blah, blah, blah steel company, and I have insurance. And I work at Goldman Sachs, and I have insurance. So, it, you know, if you can't afford insurance, you know, that's kind of like your own problem, isn't it? Shouldn't you just save up, and shouldn't you go without a car? Or live in a cheaper house, live in a shack so you can buy some insurance. And you hear the argument, oh, everybody's got flat screen TVs and everybody's got two cars and all that. I tell you, I talk to a lot of foreigners where I live here, and they are aghast. Absolutely aghast at our insurance situation that we have here. You tell them, and they really don't believe you. You tell them, I went to the doctor, broke my arm and had to have a surgery, and ended up costing $72,000. What? They don't believe you. Talked to a lot of Canadians, not a lot of English people, a lot of French people here. People from all over Europe, many, many Germans, lots of Italians. They all come here for vacation. And it's just, it's fascinating when you sit and tell them that sometimes their mouths hang open. They absolutely just can't believe it. I was in Washington, it was for the inauguration, and had a chance to sit down with the ambassador from Ireland. And he and his entourage, first of all, beside being a hell of a lot of fun, they listened with interest as I was telling them about our healthcare situation here, and and they thought I was exaggerating. They really did think I was exaggerating. And Claire McCaskill happened to be nearby, and Claire sat down for a while and says, "You don't believe that? You don't believe it? Well, it's true." And so there we had a United States senator, you know, just lowly broadcaster, me telling them that. And I think they did believe me, but when Claire knocked it home, they definitely went away with their mouths hanging open. Said, "My God, is it the United States of America?" A lot of places around the country don't have any clue that we're pretty much SOL on our healthcare situation here. And all the lies that are going around about it now. Did you go to the WhiteHouse.gov and read all of that yesterday? If you did, you found out you had a chance to find out on there that the Republicans have really been stretching this. How can you have so little conscience? So little conscience that you could keep people from getting decent health care just so people could enrich themselves. How could you be that low? How could you be that inhumane, that insensitive to life, to human life? I don't know. It's something that fascinates me. When you see people, I guess just sociopathic. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know how else to put it at all. Especially when you find out that these insurance companies are spending $1.25 million every day to lobby so that they can get Christmas early this year and have the government force everybody to buy insurance the way the Democrats are talking. You wait. This is going to be the pie in the sky for the insurance companies, and most certainly is. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. Coming up, we've got news coming up at the top of the hour. If I can find it here, we do. And we'll be back in just a short time. We want to remind you, you're listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The AFL-CIO and allied activists are marching today in Washington demanding accountability for insurance companies. The Labor Federation says big insurance companies and their allies are spending tens of millions of dollars fighting to maintain a profitable status quo at the expense of our health. That includes more than $1 million a day lobbying to either block or gut health care reform. The AFL-CIO march starts at the AFL-CIO headquarters and will go to a Capitol Hilton in Washington, D.C., where America's health insurance plan lobbyists are meeting. That's the group that floated the phony report claiming health care reform would raise premiums by thousands of dollars. The AFL-CIO says we're closer than ever to achieving health care reform, but big insurance companies are battling viciously to prevent it. The Obama administration opened fire on the companies that received federal bailout money on Wednesday. Jesse Russell reports.
According to the New York Times, an official with the Obama administration revealed that companies that receive bailout money will be ordered to cut the pay of executives. Cash payouts to the 25 highest paid executives at 7 of the companies that benefited from the federal bailout will be told to cut payouts by 90% on average. According to the paper, the executives will instead be compensated in stock. Chrysler, General Motors, AIG, Bank of America, and Citigroup will all be part of the administration's order. Further, the government will require companies seeking to give executives more than $25,000 in perks to file for permission from the federal government.
Sun Microsystems plans to lay off upwards of 3,000 workers over the next year. The job cuts come as Sun waits for Europe to make a regulatory decision regarding the company's takeover by Oracle. European regulators are investigating whether or not the acquisition would give Oracle a database software monopoly. Sun has already cut 6,000 jobs, and the latest cuts would come from across the company's global workforce. The NBA Referees Union has tentatively agreed with the league on a new contract. A ratification vote of the referees is expected by week's end. The referees had been locked out after rejecting a contract proposal 3 weeks ago. It now looks like they'll be back on the courts for the start of the regular season. Jesse Russell has today's economic report.
Families USA estimates that nearly 4 million people could have been added to the ranks of the uninsured over the last year. They create the estimate based on the number of job losses over the past year. 62% of U.S. workers receive health insurance through employers. And according to Families USA Executive Director, when workers lose their jobs, they also lose health coverage. The federal government's COBRA program only allows for some workers to continue health care coverage after they leave a job.
For more labor news, visit laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like me.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
You count down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back. You are, in fact, listening to the Guy James Show, and I'm happy that you're doing so. There they go, talking about key lime pie on the chat room again. I'll get them. I'll get them. I'll probably go out and have me some key lime pie tonight, real Florida key lime pie. And if you're not Floridians, you won't be able to get real key lime pie tonight, and I will. So there, I'll eat a half pie. I'll show you. I'll get you for this, and then I'll brag about it next time we're together. Hey, do want to remind everybody once again, if you'd like to contribute to the fund, Bob Kincaid and I, Guy James, will be representing the Head On Radio Network next Wednesday and Thursday. We're going to be gone. We'll come back Friday morning. And we're going to the Institute for America's Futures Conference in Washington called Making It in America, Building the Economy. I happen to have my hard hat here from the last conference we went to in Pittsburgh. And yes, I do. My Making It in America blue hard hat. And I tell you what, I look good in it, too. I do. I got it sitting here on my shelf in the Guy James studio with all my other mementos of when we've gone and done conferences and all that, usually in Washington. And very proud to have that working men's hard hats sit there. Yes, I've had jobs where I wore hard hats. So anyway, I do want to remind everybody that we'll be there. We could certainly use some help with expenses. I do want to help thank a couple of you yesterday that contributed. They asked me not to mention their names, and I will not, but I think they know because I've answered them back and thank them very, very much for their contributions. And we will do you proud there. That much I can promise you. We're all booked and ready to go. I've got my airfare all set up, and I like to travel on AirTran from here. AirTran's, I shouldn't tell what airline I'm going to be on, right? If that guy that wrote that note just shouldn't mention the airline we're going to be on. Okay. Did want to talk a little bit today about all these bumper stickers we're seeing. Is socialism, stop socialism now, stop fascism now. We're all that. We're all socialists and fascists and fascists and commies and Nazis now. I guess you know that. And by the way, you can join this conversation if you like. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. What exactly is socialism? And you'll find many, many, many definitions of it. But I think when it boils down to it and you put an amalgamation of all of the different definitions together, socialism refers to sort of a broad set of economic theories of social organization, which really advocates state or collective ownership and administration of the means of production in a country and the distribution of goods in a society that's usually characterized by equal opportunities for everybody, individuals with a fair or egalitarian method of compensation. Now, there are several types of socialism, but the definition I gave you there is pretty doggone general about socialists. And so we on the left are now being called socialist, commie, pinko, you know, fascist and all that. And I love it. Sticks and stones break my bones. And I don't think the average person knows what socialism is, but to call what we want in healthcare, to say that we're socialist because we want, go ahead and call me that. This will be eventually, if we get a public plan in this, this will be collective ownership of this because the government would be backing it, and I'm all for that. I don't think there is any such thing as pure capitalism. They talk about all of us who are on the left, because we want this collective medicine, if you will, socialized medicine, if you will. We're not going to force everybody to participate in this. Not at all. And that's one of the myths about it. But if you've studied economics, there is no such thing as perfect capitalism. There cannot be. No society would last for very long, and then there I go using that word, society. No culture or society would last very long with pure capitalism. There would be anarchy in no time. Where would you get the funds to raise money for defense? Where would this nation be if we hadn't had a strong military several times throughout our history to defend ourselves? And for my money, that's the only reason to have a strong military is for defense. Department of Defense. Not offense. Defense. The only reason for it to exist. I will take issue with anybody that we ever ought to be offensive with our military capabilities. But when you stop and think about pure capitalism, that's pretty much every man for himself. Capitalism is every man for himself, and to a certain extent, that's good. that gives everybody opportunity to go out and do whatever it is they can do, do it to the best of their ability to make as much money as they can, and on and on and on. But it cannot be pure capitalism, because there has to be a socialistic part of any culture. And we've talked about this. Our fire department, our police department, our military, our roads, our FAA, all the things that help protect us are socialistic. You can't deny that. They are things that we all chip in on, the roads we drive in on. We all chip in on those roads. We all chip in to keep them in good shape. We all chip in to make sure our airplanes are inspected properly, that our meat and our food is inspected properly. It doesn't always get done 100% the way it ought to be, but you know what I'm talking about. Our libraries, our educational system. Where would this country be with pure capitalism? That's why I think it's so absurd for anybody to argue that we can't have and shouldn't have anything socialistic in our society. I said that word again. Because we would not survive. No culture would survive. No culture ever has survived with pure capitalism. I love capitalism. I love the fact that I can start a business and do what it is that I want to do. I love the fact that I can make a profit. But we're not talking about adopting plans here the way these right-wingers are screaming right now. We're not talking about plans where we're all out in the wheat field shocking wheat together on a collective farm like they did in the USSR. They like to paint that picture that that's what we're aiming for. That is not. We're aiming for common sense. We're aiming to have a society where if you want to participate in capitalism and go for it and build a business, work where you want to work, do what you want to do, you can do it. But we also know that there have to be curbs. There have to be safeguards in a capitalistic society. And that's what we're talking about here. So don't go around throwing names at people for, you know, socialist. Stop the socialism now. You know, I just want to pull my hair out every time I see one of those bumper stickers. Do they really think that the people of the United States, the intelligent people of the United States, and you know who I'm talking about when I say that, do you really think we'd all want to work on collective farms? Do you all think that we'd want to have the government involved in every last little teeny-weeny aspect of our lives and tell us how many children we can have? And no. And tell us how much money we can make? There is an issue with that currently. There needs to be an issue with that currently. When some people are gouging people and taking advantage of the situation, then there has to be some regulatory agencies to help with that. You know, fascism is often thrown in there as well. We have people like Rush Limbaugh wanting to call himself the most dangerous man in America. He loves to call himself the most dangerous man in America. And I think up until recently, I would agree with him there right now on that. I think, actually believe Glenn Beck right now is the most dangerous man in America, and I, well, I'll leave my personal feelings out of it. If I were, you know, we have, I'm not kidding when I tell you that we've contacted these various people like Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and asked them to debate us on our program. I'm not kidding about that. We have done that. And they choose not to. And I know why. Because they've got nothing to gain and a lot to lose. If they came on this show and we ripped them up one side and down the other, it would be national news and they're not going to go for it. But getting back to Limbaugh and talking about fascism, Limbaugh does like to call himself the most dangerous guy in America. And he offers that kind of tongue-in-cheek. He says a lot of things on his show that he kind of alludes to he's doing it in tongue-in-cheek, but he's not kidding on this. And for, what, almost 20 years now, Limbaugh has actually ruled talk radio in this country. There isn't any question about it for almost 20 years now, and he's still on top by quite a big distance. And one thing that should be absolutely clear to everyone, any thinking people, is that if nothing else, besides being an entertainer, he certainly is the most dangerous demagogue in America. I've talked a lot about Reverend Coughlin in the country, and I mentioned him a little bit yesterday. Back in the 20s and 30s, he was called Father Coughlin. He started out as an anti-communist radio personality, and he had a weekly broadcast on the radio, and they estimated his audience back in those days when, you know, you couldn't go through a whole bunch of channels or all that, so people were more concentrated. They estimated it that he had an audience back in those days of 45 million. Imagine that. Limbaugh only has less than half of that. But anyway, Father Coughlin was a big backer of Franklin Roosevelt in 1932 when Roosevelt first ran for the presidency. But right after that, he did an about-face, and he became a severe critic of Roosevelt's administration all through the rest of his time in office. And Coughlin really was a big deal into conspiracies. And I don't know how many of you know this. Well, my audience knows just about everything about history. We've got such an intelligent audience. I wish everyone could see. I ought to publish a book sometime with the email that I get from my audience. Such well-informed people. I'm constantly impressed the way people express themselves and such well-written notes that I get from people. But Henry Ford was very, very, very anti-Semitic. And he was really an extremist. And Coughlin became an extremist when he started talking about FDR. And he said many, many times that FDR was a tool of the Jews who ran the world. He'd like to say that. And he had people all stirred up. And he was a spokesman for this group called America First. And this America First group, which Henry Ford was deeply involved in, they did not want to get involved in the war in Europe and in Asia. They just absolutely did not want to get involved in it. And this Father Coughlin, and look it up and read about him. He's a fascinating character. He truly was an inspiration for an entire generation of people who were anti-Semitic. And he had another movement. I'm trying to think what the name of it was. And I think it was called Christian Identity. But coming back to Limbaugh, the reason I mentioned Father Coughlin in relation to Limbaugh, Limbaugh has always stayed away from conspiracy theories and anti-Semitism. And through the first half of his radio career, his big shtick, and the biggest thing that he's done is rail against the government and its supposed takeover of our daily lives. And this anti-government propaganda has served one main purpose, and that was to drive a wedge between the middle and the lower class workers. And the one entity that has the capability to protect them from the ravages of the wealthy class warriors and swarms of corporate wolves, I guess you would call them. Limbaugh likes to bill himself as an entertainer. When he gets caught on something that, his mouth is bigger than his brain, he comes back to this entertainment crap. And so do all the people who listen to him. I recall calling Connie Mack's office here locally, my local congressman. I recall calling his office and mentioning something that Limbaugh had said that Mack agreed with, and Mack's office said, well, you know, he's just an entertainer. And that's how they handle that. He raises a lot of money for them. He is their mouthpiece. There's any question about it. He has been for 20 years. They kowtow to Rush Limbaugh. You've seen several examples of that over this past year when a Republican has said something in contrast to something Limbaugh has said, and they've ended up apologizing every single time. So he is the leader of that party. He is the leader of that movement. And he does call himself an entertainer. But it would be far more accurate when talking about Rush Limbaugh is to call him the chief propagandist for the GOP. That is exactly what he is. He does not want to do anything to further a public debate. He doesn't want to have a public debate. He doesn't have people on his program with opposing views. Once in a while, his screener, and this is how that works, I've been there, done that, haven't done it in the way he does it, but it's quite common for screeners, for a show like him and a show like Hannity, a screener will take a bunch of calls, and when he gets someone on the other end of the line who's a liberal, that they can tell, and of course you can tell by listening to someone pretty quickly, when they can tell the guy doesn't have all the oars in the water, that's the guy they will let on the air and allow him to savage them. That's how that works. They call one out of the herd, so to speak, and send the weakling on the air against Mr. Limbaugh or Mr. Hannity or Mr. Beck. But he is a propagandist, and he wants nothing to do with furthering any debate. He doesn't have any debates on his show. And if he does get somebody on from the left, all he does is crucify him and hang up, and that's it. And the person doesn't have a chance to never do that. Never do that. Never call one of these shows. Because believe me, when you control the buttons, you have a huge advantage. Huge advantage, I'll admit that. And so, you really can't doubt the effectiveness of Rush Limbaugh. I will give you that. The man has been very, very effective. The Republicans can they owe half the offices they have today because of Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and their radio mouthpiece that they have. And in the years, when you start hearing this stuff 24/7 on the air all day long, the government's evil and everything's corrupt and you got to distrust everything that the Democrats say and all that, people start to believe it. And the government's bad, and they constantly, when a Democrat's in office, and you mark my word, and you go back and take a close look at this. When a Democrat is in office, they rail, the Republicans and conservatives do, they rail against the government. The government is evil. The government is bad. The government is the source of all that is wrong with the country. Every time a Democrat's in office, you hear that nonstop coming from the right. You know, you take when George Bush was running the show. Limbaugh stopped that anti-government crap. That just slowly faded away. After all, being anti-government seems practically anti-Republican, considering that the GOP at that time owned all three branches of the government and virtually controlled the fourth estate as well. But pay heed to that. Every time a Democrat's in office, you're going to hear from the right, oh, the government's evil, and when they're in office, the government is not evil. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't evil people around when the Republicans own everything in Washington. There's still evil people in the government, but they're all liberals, you know. He has demonized all things liberal, and that has been a component of his routine ever since he started. And it is absolutely his focus. It's his main focus. And it's extremism. And he has led this nation, and he is the one that started it. This brand of extremism on the right. He's become openly divisive in this country. He is as responsible for the divisiveness in this country, probably more than anybody else. And he is dangerous. Make no mistake, he is a dangerous man, and he knows it. He was, if you think back, he was one of the leaders. You remember back when Bush first got in office, and a lot of Democrats were raising hell over some of the things he was doing? Limbaugh was out in front. He was out in front with the right-wing campaign to characterize anybody who questioned anything on Bush's policy. They were anti-American. Anti-American, un-American, treasonous, all that. He was leading the pack. But Limbaugh has taken things farther than all of the rest. Up until recently, and now we've got some people who are Limbaugh wannabes. You've got your Mark Levin. His rhetoric is really over the top. And this Michael Wiener, known on the radio as Michael Savage, but he is Michael Wiener, really his real name. But he has thrown about the name Nazis and fascists and all that against anybody who wants to say anything against him. So, you know, when we talk about fascism, you've got to include Rush Limbaugh in on it. For my money, he's right there in the leadership, and he is the guy. He is the guy. I'm going to pause for a break here real quick. I did want to find, what did I do with this little piece here I had? Guess I can't find it right now. I'm not all that, Here's Michael Savage. here's Michael Savage. You know, everybody in the White House now, as you well know, is all a Maoist. They're all Maoist and commies and Nazis and socialists in the White House now, coming from the right. And here is Michael Wiener, Savage. And I think he's lost his frickin' mind.
I mean, I could tell you about Mao Zedong. I can tell you about Obama. I can tell you that we have a Maoist revolution. Only you wouldn't understand it because you don't want to hear it. You don't want to understand that we have a communist revolution that has occurred in the United States of America inside the White House by a man named Barack Hussein Obama, who surrounds himself with overt, outright, out in the front, right out of there, Mao Tse-Tung lovers. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Mao is this nice, friendly Chinese guy with a blue hat and a red star that, why didn't Jerry Brown and others give out the little red book in the 70s? Wasn't Mao like a cute Chinese guy? They killed 60 million Chinese. That's what Maoism is. The Marxist-Leninist tradition that preceded Mao Tse-Tung was not what he used. Mao Tse-Tung based his revolution on the power of the peasants in China. Mao Tse-Tung saw, he said, energy in the illiterate peasants of China. He said they were poor and blank, and strength and violence were, he thought, inherent in their condition. Now, who do you think would be the equivalent of the peasants of China that Barack Hussein Obama, David Axelrod, and Rahm Emanuel are using, along with the czars, to motivate a Maoist revolution in the United States of America? In its early phases, mind you. It would be the peasants of America. And don't fool yourself into thinking that there are no peasants in America. The 30 million illegal aliens are peasants. Those on welfare are the peasants. The uneducated are peasants. Those who are full of hatred for those of us who work and have something are the people that the new Mao will use and is using because he sees strength and violence in them, in their condition. He's an intelligent, shallow man. He has gotten along through his entire life by white liberals who have appeased him out of fear and guilt. Look, I studied this in and out, and I know what this is all about. I know how they grease the skids for him every step of the way. This man has never had to struggle for anything. This is not a man who rose up from poverty through his own hard work. There's a lot more to that story that we can talk about at another time, other than the fake biography written by Bill Ayers. But we won't go into the biography right now. All I can tell you is that he is no longer benefiting from the affirmative action friends that he's had from his time at Punahou High School in Hawaii, where all of the rich liberals in Hawaii got on their hands and knees and said, this is a great man, and we're going to grease the skids for him. And boy, did they ever put on that grease. They never expected it, but here he is in the White House much sooner than they thought he would be there. And the training wheels are breaking on his tricycle. The people are waking up. The dumbest electorate in the Western world, the American voter, even the dumbest electorate in the Western world, the most uneducated politically in the entire West, that doesn't even know what a socialist is. If you stopped, even a person who went to college and said, what is a socialist? They wouldn't answer you. They couldn't answer you. They wouldn't even understand the question. So you then went to the next step and said, how about a Maoist or a Marxist? They would walk away from you like you were an egghead crackpot. But remember that Maoism killed 60 million people. Marxism killed 90 million people in the last century. So revolutions have very high tolls in blood. Just be very, very careful about where we go.
Wow. So when Barack Obama was in high school, according to Michael Weiner, when he was in high school, people kowtowed to him and made sure that he would be president of the United States. Is that guy nuts or what? And, you know, somebody mentions Mao in a speech, and all of a sudden the entire White House, they're all Maoist. You talk about propaganda. Hey, I just got an email. Just now popped up on the screen. I don't know why I got this. It's from a guy named John Ransom. Douglas County Republican Chairman. Help stop liberal special interest in Douglas County elections. Douglas County, Colorado, we're talking about here. The liberal outside special interests are trying to influence our local Douglas County elections. They have contributed thousands of dollars to their hand-picked candidates. They set up shadowy groups to send mailers to Douglas County mailboxes. They are organizing to win local elections. I am surprised as you are with their activities. Their entire goal is to win local Douglas County school board election and likely to use this as a springboard to win more elections in the future. We cannot allow this to happen. Help the Douglas County Republican Party now. Help defeat the outside special interest trying to control our local elections. Give us your direct support here now. You may have read out this issue in the Denver Post on Tuesday. Special interest. Here we go. We're finally getting to it now. They've got ties to Acorn. Acorn special interests. There's no telling what they will do in our county. They pushed Congress to pass a hugely wasteful $1 trillion taxpayer-funded stimulus plan that has done nothing to grow jobs. I'm still looking for the rest of this. There's got to be a kicker to it. Somebody. Accountability for kids. They want to funnel money into their local schools, and they disguise their real motives. What are their nefarious real motives? They want to limit parent influences, to control teaching materials. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. This is quite a long letter. I think. Thank you, and send us a lot of money. John Ransom, Chairman, Douglas County Republicans. I don't know why I got that, but my goodness, sounds like they want to... take over everything, the special interest. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Hey, did you hear the, just as an aside, speaking of Colorado, that Heaney guy out there, that the big balloon hoax and all, did you know he had a theme song already written, already for this show that he was going to put together, this reality show. Here it is. This is actually him.
When you want to learn the mysteries of how things work, weather, the planets, the whole universe.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Further proof that Fox News behaves more like a political operation than a legitimate news outlet, Media Matters asks, would a real news organization repeatedly help GOP PACs raise money? Have a listen.
At DickMorris.com, we've raised now $2.5 million to run ads.
I want you to be a part of what I hope is going to be 100,000 people signing our Balance, Cut, and Save petition.
Go online right now to GOPtrust.com. And I think this group is the equivalent of the MoveOn.org, only for the right. Hey, we need groups like that to be the spokesman.
Well, today's most outrageous comment goes to Pat Robertson with his thoughts on marriage equality.
I don't really believe homosexuals want to get married. What they want to do is destroy marriage and some of the other things that we have in our society.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Check it out. I never loved nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground.
Regina Spektor, I love that little piece that she wrote there. She wrote that and performed it as well, and I do enjoy that. I don't know what it is about it, just something that's kind of cute. 866-546-5354. Wow. Been a long day. You can give us a call. We'll be happy to listen to your call. How many of you have seen the new Michael Moore movie? Have you seen it? I have not. I've seen cuts from it. I've seen several cuts from it, but I have not seen the movie. It has played nowhere near here that I know of. I was reading Michael Moore on his website, Five Things That We Demand the President and the Congress Do Immediately. And I certainly agree. declare a moratorium on all home evictions. Not one more family should be thrown out of their home. The banks must adjust their monthly mortgage payments to be in line with what people's homes are now truly worth and what they can afford. Also, it must be stated by law, if you lose your job, you cannot be tossed out of your home. Number two, Congress must join the civilized world and expand Medicare for all Americans. A single nonprofit source must run a universal health care system that covers everyone. Medical bills are now the number one cause of bankruptcies and evictions in this country, and Medicare for all will end this misery. Number three, demand publicly funded elections and a prohibition on elected officials leaving office and becoming lobbyists. Well, we've preached that on this show for a long time. Publicly funded elections. You know how they do it in Australia? I may not have this nailed down exactly right, but I know I'm pretty close. I don't think the politicians in Australia, and someone correct me if you know I'm wrong, I don't think politicians in Australia are allowed to spend any money on TV ads. I'm pretty sure that you cannot spend money on TV ads. What they do is, and it's been my exact suggestion for this country, and I didn't know they were doing it in Australia, what they do is they allow candidate with enough viability, and I don't know who determines that, to, I guess they must take a poll, and anyway, the TV stations have to give time for them to get on and speak. And I think that's absolutely more than fair. We ought to do that here. This deal of raising God knows how many hundred million dollars, it's got to end. It's got to end. And all these corporations and fat cat donors and everything had to be thrown out on their asses trying to participate in the political. I mean, if you're a CEO of a company, go vote. And have all of your employees go vote. That's it. Don't want you sitting in my senator's lobby with a suitcase full of money for him buying his vote. I don't want that. Nobody wants that. I don't think anybody wants that. So we've got to get the money out of this. You know, to me, that's the number one problem. It should absolutely be illegal for any company or corporation to donate a dollar to any politician for any reason whatsoever. Any reason. I know there are probably things about that that are a bit impractical, but you've got to admit that would sure solve a hell of a lot of problems. Not a dollar. Not a lunch. Not an ink pen. Nothing. No money out of corporations or lobbying firms for any politician. If you want to become a politician, spend your own money. Raise your own money from the public. Or let's have just public funding and let it go at that. But man, we've got to stop big corporations. They've got to be out of it. So to go on with Michael's list, each of the 50 states must create a state-owned public bank like they have in North Dakota. Then Congress must reinstate all the strict pre-Reagan regulations on all commercial banks, investment firms, insurance companies, and all of the other industries that have been savaged by deregulation. Airlines, the food industry, pharmaceutical companies, you name it. If a company's primary motive to exist is to make a profit, then it needs to set a set of stringent rules to live by. And the first is, do no harm. And the second rule, the question must always be asked, is this for the common good? Number five on his suggestion, save this fragile planet and declare that all the energy resources above and beneath the ground are owned collectively by all of us. I could not agree more, just like they do it in Sarah Palin's socialist Alaska. We only have a few decades of oil left. The public must be the owners and landlords of the natural resources and energy that exist within our borders, or we will descend further into corporate anarchy. It's absolutely true. And when it comes to burning fossil fuels to transport ourselves, we must cease using the internal combustion engine and instruct our auto transportation companies to rehire our skilled workforce and build mass transit, clean buses, light rail, subways, and bullet trains, and new cars that don't contribute to climate change. Well, I think that's a no-brainer. Five things we can do to make Congress and the President listen to us. Each of us must get into the daily habit of taking 5 minutes to make four brief calls. One to the President, one to your congressperson, and one to each of your two senators to find out who represents you. Take 1 minute on each of these calls and let them know how you expect them to vote on a particular issue. Let them know you will have no hesitation voting for a primary opponent or even a candidate from another party if they don't do our bidding. Trust me, they will listen. And if you've got another 5 minutes, send them an email. And if you want to really drop the anvil on them, he says send them a snail mail letter. Number two in that group of things we need to do is take over your local Democratic Party. Remember how much fun you had with all those friends and neighbors working together to get Barack Obama elected? You did the impossible. And it's time to re-up. Everyone get back together and go into the monthly meetings of your town or county Democratic Party and become the majority that runs it. There will not be many in attendance, and they will either be happy or in shock that you and the Obama Revolution have entered the room, looking like you mean business. President Obama's agenda will never happen without mass grassroots action, and he won't feel encouraged to do the right thing if no one has his back, whether it's to stand with him or push him in the right direction. When you all become the local Democratic Party, Michael Morse, send me a photo of the group and I'll post it on my website. Number three, recruit somebody to run for office who can win your local elections next year. Or better yet, consider running for office yourself. Absolutely. Number four, show up. Hold vigils and marches. Consider civil disobedience. Those town hall meetings are open to you, too. And there's more of us than there are of them. Make some noise. Have some fun. Get on the local shows. Place capitalism did this signs on empty foreclosed homes. Close down businesses, crumbling schools and infrastructure. Number five, start your own media. Well, that's exactly what we've done here. Five things we should do to protect ourselves and our loved ones until we get back through this mess. Take your money out of the bank and place it in a locally owned bank, preferably a credit union. Get rid of all your credit cards. Do not invest in the stock market. If you have any extra cash, put it in a savings account, or if you can, pay down on your mortgage so that you can own your home as soon as possible. Unionize your workplace so that you and your coworkers have a say in how your business is run. And take care of yourself and your family. Find some peace in your life. And make the choice to be around people who are not full of negativity and cynicism. Michael Moore. You know, Michael Moore to a lot of people is a very objectionable character. I hear people say terrible things about Michael Moore. He is a great filmmaker. He's a great advocate. And yes, he's rough and gruff and all that, but he's done a lot. He has done a lot, and I admire him. A great, great deal. The phones haven't exactly burned up today. No. Anyway, just looking to see all the emails. We got more emails than phone calls today, that's for sure. Anyway, I do want to thank all of you for being with us here today. It's important to the Head On Radio Network to have as many listeners as we can. I hope you will. I hope you will mention, there's nothing like word of mouth, mention Head On Radio Network programs to others, and that we can build our listenership even more. And you can help do that by sending out a few emails to some of your friends and and ask them to give the shows a listen. Let them decide for themselves whether they like the content and the tenor of the programs or not. That's fair enough. But if every one of you would send out, say, 10 emails to somebody and saying, how about giving Bob Kincaid and Guy James a listen on the Head On Radio Network, why, it would help tremendously. Believe me, it would. So we hope you'll do that. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you later, gang.
Jersey, anything's legal as long as you don't get caught.